real. Like a faded meeting with a brand new new shape from beginning.
Two point.
Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. This is another mini episode, and today I'm Matt.
This is David.
And today we're talking about real estate.
Yeah, real estate. For me, it's a timely topic, and if I had to talk about one thing right now with any person, it's going to be moving house, because that's the process I've been going through, and it's pretty different from back home. I'm just talking about renting. I've never bought in either country, America or Japan, so we don't really know much about buying. I could talk a little bit about it from friends, I've heard, but yeah, just the whole renting process in general. I was told straight away that from a friend, watch out, real estate agents in Japan are really sneaky. And for me, that doesn't match my generalizations about Japanese people in general, which is you know, very polite and formal and just good people. You know, I if I'm going to meet 10 people here, I think 9 of them are going to be great, honest. You know, people don't steal in Japan. You know, so I feel I could trust Japanese people very much. And I was told one thing that they'll do is they advertise a really great place to pull you in. And then once you come in, they say, oh, yeah, sorry, like, we don't have that one anymore. It's gone. And that way you're in there. And that's like one of their moves that they use. Because my friend had gone to multiple real estate agents where that happened. He saw the place advertised outside, really good price, good location. And he went in and they would say, oh, no, that one sold last week. And it kept happening over and over.
Yeah, so it must be true. Yeah.
So that was kind of like, yeah, my first impression. And then I'd known you'd had a kind of rocky
back. Yeah, we had a rocky start. Yeah,
so why don't you talk about that?
Well, originally, I was living with you actually. When we first came to Japan, my wife and I lived at your place for a little while, just as we were looking for jobs. And which is not the way I recommend you do it. Please get your job before you come to Japan. But
it's a good way to get the job.
It is, but there are some issues. And one issue is, after we left your place, we needed a place to stay near our jobs because we were in Kobe, and then we had to come out to Osaka. And so we ended up renting a place in a temporary housing, right? And we ended up renting in Hanazono-cho, which...
Listen to our Nishinari Hanazono-cho episode.
The Nishinari episode, there's a lot more detail about that there. But
it's a shady neighborhood.
Right. But that's not the issue. The issue is that your ward office, and the ward office where you originally get your visa from, or where you register at, they won't take you off of the books when you move to a new location and you register at the next ward office. You have to go all the way back to the ward office where you registered originally.
Was that in Kobe for you?
And that was in Kobe for us. So when we moved here, they were like, no, you can't register here because you're registered in Kobe. And we said, oh, yeah, but we're renting here now. And it took some explaining. And then basically we had to go back to Kobe, you know.
Imagine what that would be like if you're out like in like Sapporo or something. Like, there's got to be some way around that, don't you think?
You think there would be, but I've actually talked to some of my coworkers that have said that they have been in the ward office in two places for years because they forgot to, like, you know, change it from their previous location. So that's that's one part.
All right. I told you we ran a lot to say in this
there's probably going to be a lot. But then when we started looking for apartments, we went through exactly what you said. They would take us to places that we were interested in, and either that apartment wasn't there, or there was another one in that building that they'd want to show us.
Okay.
It wasn't the same apartment.
But they would actually have the place
sometimes.
To show you? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of them didn't look like the pictures.
The pictures are misleading.
Yeah. And then they would show us places that were more expensive. Mm. So they'd say, I'm sorry, that place isn't available, but this one's more expensive.
So my other friend talked about the more expensive, the upselling thing.
Yeah,
it's apparently a big deal here. Even if you say, like, look, this is my upper limit, absolutely don't show me anything over this. Because I had another friend who, his wife would get all excited. He was, like, in charge of the money and stuff. And his wife would be like, oh, yeah, isn't this great? And the real estate agent was totally, like, playing his wife against them, you know?
Mm.
And again, this is kind of, like, classic, like, used car salesman stuff back home. But in Japan, it's just... Would you agree it's kind of not what you would expect?
Well, the other thing I have to say is most people can't get a guarantor, somebody that could vouch for you so that you could get an apartment. And most foreigners have this problem. It's a problem that pretty much any foreigner coming to Japan has. So we are typically forced to use two or three companies that say no guarantor required, right?
Yeah, and so you don't have the same options that maybe a Japanese person would. You're kind of forced into like one or two real estate. And if you don't speak Japanese, then you're stuck with one that can speak English too, right?
Right, right.
So you're kind of getting maybe the bottom of the barrel or someone who's like desperate.
And so we were working with this one company and the guy was really nice, but he took us around and he wasn't really showing us the places that we were asking to look at. And eventually we were kind of like, well, things aren't working out. We ended up going with a Chinese company where they were a little more flexible, and they took us to a bunch of houses that were closer to what they were advertising. And we've been with that real estate company ever since.
You should talk about the one they showed you and you got like your hopes up on. Oh, so that was interesting story.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The first real estate agent that we went with, he took us to a place in Horie, which is Orange Street in Yotsubashi area of Osaka, which is our favorite neighborhood. And I really had my hopes up. I mean, this place was perfect. It was kind of something out of the 70s. It was a little bit old and dated, but green, and there were tatami rooms, and
kind of funky and unique,
like pipes coming out of the walls and places and stuff, just like a little solid the earth kind of feel to it. And but it was right above a cafe, and then there was the park. There was a park across the street, and
Tamade,
Tamade, David's favorite grocery store, right next door. It would have been an awesome location, but the people that own the apartment decided that they didn't want foreigners renting the apartment, and that's why we didn't get.
Which is something you think you would ask straight away, you know.
Yeah, you think, I think going through a foreign real estate company that they would consider that, right?
The guy who was showing you around was not Japanese, right?
No, he wasn't. So,
you think straight away is the, I know for my company, I always ask that, who we're going through, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, of course, like, we want to show you the place. Like, you know, we do say right away, it is a foreigner, do you mind?
Yeah, and that's important because you don't want to get the runaround.
Waste anyone's time, right?
To his credit, he did say, you know, he did contact them a few times for us because we were pretty insistent. Like, are you sure? You know, and he said, yeah, I'll contact them. But ultimately, it fell through, and that's when we went to the Chinese company to get an apartment. Yeah. And actually, I have one more story before you get into your stuff. But we were looking at a bunch of apartments with this woman, and this company has them wear coveralls, like these denim coveralls, top to bottom. So when I first met her, I was like, man, this woman has some awesome style. Yeah, she's really unique. And she was very deadpan, very straight, you know, straight-laced woman, you know, just serious, very serious. And we go to this one apartment that we really liked, and we came out, and my wife and I were like, yeah, we're totally going to see if we could get this apartment. And as we were coming out, this guy was coming up the stairs with his family, and he didn't seem happy. And he just started chewing out our real estate agent, just like really ripping into her. And she just stood there. She was listening to him. She was just looking at him, you know, and he was yelling and shouting, and the whole family looked terrified, you know. And my wife and I were like, oh man, of course, the place that
we like,
we really like, you know, it's gonna have this problem. And we get in the car, and I asked the real estate agent, I was like, what was that about? And she said, oh, nothing. And then we left the apartment. She never told us. Obviously, he wasn't too happy about either us being here or where she had parked. But you know, I couldn't get the context. My Japanese, I didn't have enough Japanese to even catch anything, you know, at that point.
I would say, like, in general, being a foreigner here, I never feel a lot of discrimination personally, or maybe people think things, but I never really see any action on that, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
or reaction to that. But it sounds like moving real estate agents can kind of make you feel a little bit second class sometimes, like you're an outsider, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, like, I'm going through my school, right? And while I do work for, like, a foreign company in Japan, we do have Japanese employees, and our business manager is Japanese, so I know for me, I'm not getting, like, a crappy real estate company, you know? I can use anyone that a Japanese person would use, as long as the landlord would be cool with renting out to a foreign tenant.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual real estate agents we're getting should be good quality, which is why I was really optimistic about my experience, even though my friend went through the same situation, a coworker, had kind of a hard time. But yeah, I was pretty laid back about the whole thing. As long as I was getting a bigger place, I was going to be happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going in really, really optimistic. But the first place we went to go see was advertised as $1,600 a month. And as soon as we got there, they're like, oh yeah, hey, just so you know, some people come to look at this place think it's $1,600, but it's really $1,800. I was like, well, I can see why they think it's $1,600, because that's what the headline says.
Yeah.
And I knew right away what they're talking about, because, like, in, like, the small details where they talk about, like, the amenities, it's talked about a parking space, and it is an abnormally large parking space out in front of this. I'd say it's like half the size of a tennis court, which in Japan is a lot of space. So
yeah.
It's this big thing right in front of the house, and it mentions $200 for that, but because it's listed as an amenity, and it just seems like it'd be an option. And my Japanese business manager read it as an option as well, so it wasn't just me. So I felt right away, like, man, I've been duped. I went in thinking I was, like, better than everyone else, and I was gonna, like, figure this out, you know. It kind of gave me a chip on my shoulder right away, you know. However, we were able to talk them down to just charging $50 for that parking space, so $50 more a month than they advertised. So I would say, if you do have someone you're going with or any kind of Japanese ability, you really can haggle, which normally in Japan, you know, you wouldn't knock down a price on something.
Not on most things.
Yeah, maybe use things, and I guess the house is used, so maybe that's why. But yeah, we've been bargaining at a lot of other places and knocking $100 off rent here or there. We'll just point out things we don't like. And I go in very much in the same attitude I would at, like, a used car back home. My wife will get really excited about things, and I'm just always like, no, I don't know. And I'll, like, really point to, like, a dent in the door or something, you know, and, like, do, like, the sucking in of the teeth, you know?
Mm.
And it's really interesting because the landlords aren't actually there, but the real estate agent knows the firm price. Like, the landlord must tell him, here's as low as I'm going to go. Because as I will say things about it, he's like this middleman, and he will then be like, all right, well, she'll do $1,650. I'm like, how do you know that? You knew that all along then. You have to call her or anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really weird scenario in which I don't think a real estate agent has that power back home or that kind of clout. Unless this is my situation. He did mention this lady's really, really old, and she doesn't, like, want to come to the meetings and stuff because, like, she can't get out of bed. So maybe
I'm my landlord for the first time in, like, 2.5 years, like, of living in the apartment. So
the place I've lived for 5 years, I've never met my landlord one time. And I had this impression of Japan of, like, I need to give a gift when I came in, and be, like, they were going to pop in sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I've heard about people, you know, having that happen too, where, like, they weren't supposed to have pets, but they got a pet, and the landlord comes over to, like, bring them some oranges and be nice, and, like, they find their dog, you know. And so I always thought I would know all my neighbors in Japan and give gifts to them and stuff, and for me, in an apartment, that doesn't happen. I have heard in houses, though, that's more true than apartments.
Yeah.
So
We've had one tenant in our apartment building that came up and gave us soap, like, dish soap.
Okay.
That was cool. Nice. Yeah. It was useful. Gift, yeah, though. Very practical gift. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of started off on a negative for me, but we're trying to move out of an apartment to a house, renting a house, not buying a house, with actual yard and stuff, which to me is something in Japan, you know, never really thought would be an option, to live in a house. I always just thought everyone in Japan lived in apartments. Because in Korea, that was kind of more the case in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to live in the countryside. But I've known a couple of people through my company that have houses, you know, and I was always really jealous when I'd go over. It's a small yard, but it's enough to, like, throw a ball around with your kid, you know, or grow some plants.
Sometimes the yards are really cool, like a Japanese garden.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, all of mine have really cool, like, bonsai trees, all the ones we looked at. And, you know, for me, I like music and talk about records all the time on the show. I kind of want to just be able to, like, blare my music. I bought nice speakers about a year ago, and I always feel like I can't really use them because I live in an apartment, you know?
And you don't want to disturb your neighbors.
But I was told that living in a house, actually, in some ways, the insulation of houses here is worse than apartments. And you can hear more from your neighbors in the neighborhoods here than you can in an apartment complex. Mm. I was warned this by two people. Because the houses are so close together, you can reach out the window sometimes and touch the other house's wall.
Yeah.
So they're saying that, yeah, like, you might think you're going to have, like, quiet, but you're not. But for me, the houses I've looked at have actually only shared one wall with the other house. They just so happen to be, like, dead end streets or have a parking lot next to them. So I think I'll be okay on that front.
And you're going to be by the beach, so, you know, during the summertime, it's going to be a little bit.
So one of the houses I looked at was right by the beach, but
this is a different
one. We're leaning towards one that's just kind of in a traditional neighborhood. It actually borders a park on one side, which is why I don't have a neighbor. Because literally there's a park on the other side.
Oh, that's awesome.
A really small park, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is nice not to live next to someone. But again, I've been told then, like, kids hang out at parks after school, and that might be loud. But it's been really exciting, and I've got to go in Japanese houses, which is kind of rare. You know, mostly everyone we know is in apartments. And it's big, like, two bathrooms, a lot of these houses have. It's bigger than my parents' house growing up. Granted, I came from probably 1,500 square feet. But the places we're looking at are, like, 2,000 square feet. And, you know, pretty close to, like, a city. And I'm not at all rich or anything. So it's definitely, like, doable.
Yeah. And houses sometimes can be even cheaper than the apartments in the neighborhood. I mean,
if they're older. Yeah. But if I were to buy this place, I've talked with friends about buying, the kind of typical mortgage people would put down for, like, a kind of three-bedroom house here is around, like, $30,000 to $40,000. And then I'd typically take about, you know, 30 years to pay that off. And they pay about $800 a month or $900 a month to pay that off. So it's almost like half of what it would be to rent. As long as you're willing to put down roots, as a foreigner, you can get a loan here. You need to get permanent residency first, though, which is typically being here for about 10 years. However, they do allow it if you're, like, with the same company the whole time, or if you speak decent Japanese, I've been told, they'll give it to you at, like, 6 years sometimes, or 7 years if you go in and try. For me, though, I can get a loan through my insurance company. We have a private insurance company at my company, and they give out loans to anyone who's on their insurance. You may think, like, living in Japan, you couldn't really buy a place, but yeah, you can. You don't have to have a Japanese spouse or anything.
One thing I've heard is that properties devalue in time, though, and that's one reason why people don't invest in, like, housing out here.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say, like, you know, buying houses and flipping them is, I'm not saying that, but if you just want to buy a house to grow old and retire in, what you're talking about is totally true. The funny thing is that the property is about 80% of what you pay. So again, I'm kind of in the market around, like, $300,000, $350,000 is, like, a decent new home here in Japan. And 80% of that $300,000, so let's say, like, $220,000 is the land. And the land is incredibly small. Like, again, your yard is small.
Yeah.
And so the house is only, like, $100,000 actually. Because they say after 30 or 40 years, they're done. Like, you have to just totally build a new house. I guess the easiest way to build, like, earthquake safe houses makes them very flexible but not last a long time.
Yeah.
But again, if the house is only really $80,000 or $100,000, maybe in 40 years, you know, that's not, you got the property already. You just put down $100,000, you have a brand new house there. So it's very fascinating, very different from back home. So yeah, it's, if you think you might move or you need to sell the place, you're probably going to lose a lot of money. Kind of like buying a car back home. Buy a new car, they always say it's like a new car, they always say it's like the worst investment, right?
Right.
So I think a house here is like that, unless you're literally gonna live there to retire in. And for me, that's kind of what I'm starting to think about, is, like, a pension here is not that great. And I wouldn't be able to make $1,000-something house payment once I retire. So if I had the house paid off, then I think that's the only way I could live off my pension here.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of testing out by renting and seeing if my family likes it, and then, you know, maybe eventually buying a place. But yeah, it's a big step. Definitely feels like an adult move, you know, to live in a house. I've never lived in a house since my parents' house, even though I'm only renting. It has more of a family vibe to it than apartment. So yeah, that's been the excitement for me lately. I'm close to sealing the deal of the place. It's been just kind of a back and forth, like, how much do they fix up? And there's key money here. Key money, just give you a short version of it, is anywhere between $1,000 to $10,000. Actually, you could be zero. Did your place have key money?
Yeah, we had key money. It was about an extra month of rent. Okay, yeah. So it was about $850.
I think the key money on this place was like $8,000, but I think they knocked it down to $5,000.
Yeah.
My school pays for that. So.
Basically, it's like a down payment that you don't get back, right, for anything.
I found this out.
It's a bribe.
It's a bribe, but you don't have to actually worry about some things in your house, especially the tatami. I've always babied my tatami. And then when we didn't baby it anymore, once I had my own baby and I couldn't baby the tatami, I was always paranoid, like, man, I'm going to get charged like $1,000 for this. But the key money pays for that new tatami. Even if you live there for a year, they change out the tatami. It's viewed as like a very like intimate thing, and you would never want to like use someone else's tatami. Mm. So that key money, they usually just swap out the tatami with that. So I was asking my realtor, like, am I going to get charged for this? And he's like, no, did you pay key money? Yeah, that'll just pay for the switch, the paper doors and the tatami and all that.
Oh, that's cool.
The place I'm moving into, probably, the tatami is fine. And I told the real estate agent, like, hey, if you'd rather, I want this wallpaper changed. Like, if I stand a higher chance at changing the wallpaper, please just keep that tatami. It's not bad condition. And he's like, oh no, it's already like scheduled. Like, it'd be weird for you to keep someone else's tatami. Like, don't do that, pretty much.
For somebody that might not know, tatami is like the traditional flooring.
It looks like a straw.
Straw mat. Yeah, it's woven straw. And when you first get it, it's like green.
But it smells a little funky.
Yeah, it does smell funky. Some people don't like the smell of tatami.
I like it, though.
I like the smell of tatami, too. Actually, most of the rooms are measured by the size of the tatami.
Right. They don't use like square meters here as much.
Yeah, so a lot of times you could ask somebody like, how big is your apartment? And they'll say like 8 or 9 tatami, you know. Mm. Or they'll say...
I should have mentioned the LDK.
LDK, yeah.
So, yeah, when you look at places here, the place I'm moving into is a 4SLDK. And 4 stands for how many, like, bedrooms. Now, they do count the tatami rooms as a bedroom. And the tatami room is almost always on the first floor. So, it's not separate from, like, your living space. It's usually kind of, like, next to it. So, at my place, the 4SLDK has a tatami room and then 3 Western-style bedrooms upstairs. The L stands for living room, D dining, the K kitchen, and the S is super, meaning that the living room is just bigger than an average living room here. And then each of those rooms, if you look at a blueprint, will tell you how many tatamis they are.
I like looking at the diagrams and seeing like the tatamis. I mean, it really, after you've lived here for a while, you really can tell like the size of a place, because the size of tatami never changes.
Right, it's a standard unit of measurement, so the tatami mats are all the same. Just like a foot or a meter would be the same.
Occasionally you get a place that's weird where they cut the tatami off, but that's really rare. Yeah, rare cases. I've seen that before, though.
Yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much it. So there's also a security deposit on top of the key money.
Yeah.
The security deposit, though, you do get back as long as the place is in decent condition.
And you can't forget about like the black spots, the apartments that are very heavily discounted because somebody died in in the apartment. People are still pretty superstitious about living in apartments where somebody has passed away. And so
I don't know about this, by the way.
Oh, and you could get like a place for like half the price. And we've asked our real estate agents, you know,
hey, do you have any?
Yeah, because I mean, I really don't mind. But
Japan's got a lot of old people. I always assume someone died at the place I'm moving in.
Yeah.
There's a high chance of that, you know?
Yeah. But sometimes you could pay like half the price. Mm. So it could be like $350 for an apartment, especially if the death was particularly good. Yeah, or gruesome, yeah.
I found a lot of places, like my current place is right next to a train track. Matt's place is right next to a train track. I was looking at two places primarily this time for the new place. One of them was, again, right next to a train track. Maybe I'm cheap or something and always looking for a cheaper price than what's normal, but I find, you know, yeah, a lot of the places are undesirable. Japanese people really care about the sunlight. They like houses that are facing south because I guess the sun, it gets more sun per day or something like that. For me, yeah, I don't really care. But I guess tatami mites are a big deal. Mold, black mold in Japan is a big deal.
No, oh, yeah, we've had a little mold on our tatami. Mm. I usually do spring cleaning when we're getting pretty close to it, where I'll move my bed and stuff because it's actually in the tatami room. We break some rules.
Do you take the tatami out?
Like, no, I don't clean underneath, but I do clean the top. I take some bleach and I clean the top of the tatami.
I've never had a problem in my place. I don't clean it. I vacuum it. You know,
we get a lot of moisture in ours. Mm, yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people do. I've just been lucky.
Yeah, actually, you could buy these. There are these little containers at the markets, and they absorb, you know, it's like the silicone packets that you get in foods.
Yeah, just big versions of that.
Like just huge versions of that. They're like...
buckets.
Like little bucket. Yeah. And really, after a couple of months, that thing's full of water. Mm. So, you know, depending on where you live, you might have a lot of humidity. I mean, Japan is a pretty humid place anyway, especially here in Kansai. So, yeah, those things you definitely need because you could grow mold on your clothes as well.
Yeah. I didn't know that was possible.
Yep, it's possible. Believe me. So.
Our new friend.
Oh, yeah. We're making friends all over the place. Yeah. Well,
anyway.
I think that's a good place to end it.
That's a good wrap on real estate. If you have any more questions, let us know. Sumo is kind of a famous website, SUUMO, and you can just use Google Translate and look at places. There's English. If you're out in Tokyo area, there's a site, it's called like just Real Estate Japan. If you just Google that generic name, they have a lot of English listings on there. For me, it's just fun to look at houses and apartments here, you know, just kind of daydream, like, oh, when I move to Japan one day, that's what I used to do.
Oh, I used to listen to the Gaijin Pot podcast. Mm. And the host on that, he did a really good episode on...
You see the one who lived in Thailand and talked about like the differences between Thailand? Yeah,
he did. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Anthony Joe, I think his name is.
Anthony Joe, that's right, yeah. And he does a really good episode on like Tokyo real estate. And so I highly recommend it if you're planning on coming out or if you're interested in the, you know, the housing market out here.
Yeah, so just kind of sum it up, real estate in Japan is Minguksai. Minguksai means... pain in my side.
That's right. Or like Muzakashi. Difficult.
Yeah, it's annoying if you're from a Western country. But yeah, you gotta just fight through it. It's one of those things you gotta shogunai and just kinda deal with it. But yeah, Japanese houses can be kinda cool, you know.
Yeah,
minimal living, and
I love my apartment. Mm. I mean my wife and I were discussing whether we should move soon or not. Mm. You know, we want pets eventually, and
one
our apartment doesn't
allow for a pet. So they wouldn't, just to give you kind of a quick overview there, I'm talking about a discount, like $100 cheaper per month, but they said, we do allow pets. If you do want the pet option, then we won't give you a discount. You just got to pay what we're asking for. Mm. But we'll give you a discount if you don't have a pet.
Oh, that was cool. That's cool. Yeah. But I mean, we'll see. Mm. I might be moving up to, Nakatsu area. We like that area. Yeah,
I want Matt to move there.
Yeah, it would be a cool place to be. Closer to Umeda, closer to the main part of town, closer to work, yeah, closer to Kobe. Yeah, so we're making moves, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And
we should probably do a mini episode on moving.
Yeah,
that would probably have a
once
lot.
Once I move, and you know, I'll do like a house tour and stuff there, everything's successful, just because... a lot of foreigners you see are on the JET program and stuff who do their house tours.
Yeah.
And I've never seen any foreigners really showing off a house in Japan, not an apartment.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy, you know, to give a little tour and do like a video episode even that would go along with that.
That'd be awesome.
I'm supposed to move by the end of the month. So we'll see how that
make
goes.
Make it happen, man.
Could be soon.
All right. We're Japan 2.0. This is a mini episode. So, we'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Peace.